magical realms, Carolyn and Jay. Converse in mystic, ethereal ballet. Ideas and stories, hopes and dreams they share. With intuition as their guiding, cosmic flair. In morning's embrace, their dialogues unfurl. Metaphysical whispers, a new day's pearl. In these whispered tones, they contemplate the night, where truth and wonder take their graceful flight. For in their words, a resonance may swell, as conversation's magic casts its spell. Welcome to Carolyn and Jay's Metaphysical Conversations. Good morning. How are you? If you're up, it's a good morning. If you're not up, it's still a good morning, but you just don't know it. You're listening to Metaphysical Conversations with Carolyn and Jay, and we are at Monday, March 11th, 2024. It is 10 weeks out of 52 weeks into the year. Unbelievable. And Jay is getting us all prepared here. How are you doing, Jay?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, Carolyn? Good morning.
Good morning. So, what did you just say? It's spring forward, fall back.
Yes. And oh my gosh. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Buckle your time seatbelts because, yeah, the time changed.
Yeah. Okay. So, we will be taking questions in the room via phone today, from 7:15 to 7:35. An in-depth question, please. And the number to call is 857-232-0155, extension 870-303. The number again is 857-232-0155, extension 870-303. And if you'd like to do an in-depth question on Facebook, Jay, how do we do that?
You would go over to our 12radio.com page. Click on the chat button there at the left-hand side of the screen. That does take you to a new window. It's a private Facebook window. It's a private Facebook group called the same name, 12 Radio. That's the number 12 Radio. And once you send over your invitation, we'll get you approved while we're live on the air. You'll be able to see our banner at the top of the page called Metaphysical Conversations. And in the comment section is where the conversation is happening. That's where you can add your comments, questions, and so on. We would love for you to join. We would love to know that you're here. And as Carolyn said, we have the phone lines open too. So you're able to call in that way too.
Okay. So today, Jay and I want to talk about how to spot a bad relationship. If you're wondering what you're doing in one and you're just not sure whether you can consider it bad for sure. You know, why don't you wait and just figure it out whether it's going to get it, you know. Anyway, one of the ideas is, you know, just that you're having a lack of communication and, you know, there's a significant breakdown in the communication. Frequent misunderstandings, you know, when you're fighting or unwillingness to discuss important matters even too. Jay?
I agree. I think that it's the kind of thing that you have to look at the totality of your relationship to date with that person, and not like from a scorekeeping kind of place, but looking at it from is this uplifting me, bringing me energy and synergy kind of place, or is this depleting me? Am I angry? Do I feel drained? Do I feel irritable when I'm around this person, you know, with the way that I feel when I'm with them? And I'm not saying that it's, you know, if that's the case, it's all their fault. But it is something to be aware of.
Yeah, it's like you're persistently unhappy. You know, maybe you're thinking that's kind of what you're saying, right?
Exactly. It's like looking at it from a high and low kind of place and looking at all the highs and all the lows and looking at, you know, where do you normally end up with that person when you're with that person? Is there a trend? You know, and is it an upward trend or a downward trend?
Yeah, and you know, and you try to maybe make it better, and it just doesn't seem to be happening. So, you know, that might be a good sign that you're in a bad one. You know, also too, if there's obviously, this is one, emotional or physical abuse of any form, So it's, that's a clear indication.
That is, and I feel like that might be one of the difficult ones because depending upon what's happening there, that one could be easy to kind of be like, this isn't a big deal, or oh, that only happened one time. Trying to like give the benefit of the doubt kind of thing. And that's the part you have to be careful on that one, I feel.
Oh yeah, it's like one time is that's it. So,
They're showing you
really.
their true colors, and as awful as that can be to experience with somebody, yeah, it definitely isn't something to mess around with.
That's right. Or wait to see if it gets any better. Another thing too is unhealthy jealousy. Excessive jealousy, possessiveness, or really controlling behavior.
I couldn't agree more. And I think that honestly, if you, a lot of times I feel like that's the driving force in relationship issues. Is a certain kind of jealousy between the people in the relationship, and some sort of either scorekeeping that's going on or some kind of immaturity that's happening, where it feels like we're unfairly being treated or unfairly getting our way, or they're unfairly getting their way, and where that feels like it's out of balance and to a point where it's creating a negative issue in the relationship. I feel like that's something to look at. If someone's always pushing those boundaries to get the most out of you, and they're not ever really doing that for you, offering that level of awareness or just being able to just show up like that, that might be something to really keep an eye on too, like how that energy dynamic works in the in the inner relationship between the two parties or more. It could be more. We have different kinds of relationships now where it's more than just two people.
Yeah, so you had one other one in there, I think, and it was when your boundary the boundaries are crossed, like maybe they're going through your iPhone because the trust is down. It's your trust is down. You don't have any trust because weird things are happening. You're unable to communicate. You've got some unhealthy jealousy, and so your trust is like probably pretty shattered. So I think you hit upon that too. There's negativity too. If that's the other thing, if you're feeling like you're getting criticized or there's a lot of contempt in the relationship. It'd be pretty awful to have to live with as well.
Well, and I feel like in that situation, if you're feeling like you're always having to explain yourself or justify what you're doing, like including the stuff that just is like what I would consider normal everyday living, but you're expected to like have an accounting for every, minute of your time. Those are kind of things, those are red flags to me because it can look like someone cares about you. That's what it could look like. But what it can also be is someone's controlling you. Someone is like making you feel like you have a parent when you're an adult, and you gotta, it's even worse than a parent because there's probably worse consequences if something doesn't go right. And so those are definitely indications that, at least to me, something isn't right if someone needs that level of control, even if it is like a boyfriend or girlfriend. It's easy to like have, I feel, those little comments we tell ourselves, like, oh, this is what boyfriends do, or this is what girlfriends do, or and I'm not saying that's not true, but I'm also saying that it's not like a great generalization to be the thing that explains away that kind of behavior. Because I feel like it can be kind of the thing that it just explains it away or tries to excuse it when it really isn't that great.
So yeah, you're saying there's a major power imbalance, probably. If it's down to the things you're talking about now, and it's just when you feel consistently dominated, you know, is just, ugh, is terrible. So I would mark that on your calendar as that's a no. It's not a good relationship.
I have a question as we're talking about this. How do you gauge timing? Like, how do you, what's your rule of thumb in the sense of like tolerance for dealing with nonsense, as I like to call it? The nonsense we can do, you know, have towards one another in relationships. How long do you put up with the nonsense before you do something about it?
I'd say 3 strikes, you're out. And you know, if you've tried to talk about it and you've tried to, you know, resolve something with a partner, I'd say 3 strikes, you're out. What about you?
That's a good rule. For me, it would depend. I think the very empathic, sensitive version of me would probably go with the 3 times and you're out kind of a thing just in general. Like, as just wanting to give people a chance to be themselves and show who they really are. But then it depends on what it is. It really depends on the behavior. It depends on, like, if I really do feel like I'm, my autonomy or my sovereignty is being affected, or if I'm being manipulated, those kind of things. Now I probably wouldn't tolerate the same way that I used to in the past, where I would make like a benefit of the doubt kind of a thing. I would make up a reason to explain away what the other person's doing, where now I realize that's not good to do because it just hurts me, because I'm the one not seeing the truth. They're operating in the truth and I'm the one trying to operate in some fantasy. And so for me, it's been learning how to operate in the realness, operate in what's really showing up versus operating in the potential that of how someone could show up, in the potential of how they could change. Because I was like king of seeing people and their potential. So that could be a truable, like kind of a place to look at if you might have trouble in that department too, where you're giving people way too much the benefit of the doubt in their potential versus how they're actually showing up in front of your face.
Yeah, and sometimes too, you keep thinking, oh, he or she was so cool, you know, in the beginning, and you know, that's mask time. So showing who they really are is, you know, that's the now, that's what's happening. And you know, if you're seeing that happen, it's, you know, it's a major strike. So you know, the other thing is too, if you're being isolated from other people is not a good thing. You know, maybe they get upset if you have to go, you know, if you want to go out for a dinner with somebody, or, you know, you want to call somebody and they're getting upset that, you know, they don't want you to contact somebody. They don't want you to contact a friend. They don't want the person over. And so it's just, you know, it's a form of emotional, you know, nonsense and disgusting, a disgusting situation to be put into that situation. So you need to have your freedom to talk with others, and it helps you grow that way.
Exactly. And I feel, for me, I know in the past I would want to communicate with people at a higher level, but that was not always like the level that they wanted to communicate, or not only wanted to, or maybe were able to, or maybe the level of manipulation would allow them to, and again, over and over, giving the benefit of the doubt or assuming, like, in the direction of good for the person versus like looking at like how it could be more of like a negative, where that person was coming from. Like, for me, I have a way of trying to always see the best in people. And that's not a bad thing, but where I feel like it can get us in trouble is where we're not seeing what's really showing up in front of our face because it's too hard or too difficult, or we just don't want to believe it, but yet it's happening. And so we're the only one getting hurt by not believing the truth, you know, not believing the reality as we see it.
You're saying that you've had manipulation in relationships before?
Yes, I have. I have. Especially right. the more that I was people pleasing, the more that I would, you know, do what I could to make them work, make relationships work. Yeah, absolutely. Lots of manipulation.
Yeah, but that, you know, but when you get into that kind of situation too, you have to look at your responsibility. I'm not saying but you have to look at your responsibility for not taking care of yourself, Johnny, on the spot, and trying to swim over into their island, you know, and do whatever for them rather than standing your ground with who you are and what you're about.
For sure. No, and yeah. Honestly, in not doing it, I lost myself. And I've had to not only learn how to do it again, but go through the painstaking process of finding myself through the process. And now I understand that, yes, I'm enabling people to people. Well, I am enabling people when I people please. That's what I should say it that way. It isn't helpful. And it isn't the truth. And it isn't good in that way. It isn't good for them, just like it isn't good for me. And I can't expect them to live in the truth if I'm not living in the truth either. So that has been something, yes, I've had to grow up and figure out, because it was complicated. I would do it automatically. I would just do it. I would just people please. That was my initial reaction. And I had to learn how to break that.
So probably what happens is too, you stuff it down, right? You don't say anything until all of a sudden you probably blew a few times.
Mm-hmm. I would have to get angry. I would have to get upset. And I don't like being upset. So then, you know, that's the whole thing. I definitely was not in a good place, because I locked myself up by not being able to speak my truth. And then also by not liking these sort of like these uncomfortable states of being uncomfortable or being angry with a friend or getting into a situation where, you know, they may not like what I'm going to say, and being able to be okay with that, you know, realizing that everything I'm going to say is not going to be liked, and I don't need to just, you know, say things to be an asshole either. But at the same time, I don't need to just, it's not my job to be nice to everyone, just to be nice. But at the same time, it's not my job to be a dick to everyone either. So it's back to just being able to be real and authentic with the moment and the person in the moment, versus feeling like I need to act a certain way in front of everyone, blanket, you know, from a blanket kind of perspective.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be a nightmare to have to stuff like that. It just would be awful. You know, another thing is too, what you probably found, or what people probably find when they're in that kind of situation too, is that you start to look at how maybe that you might even have some mismatched values, you know, fundamental differences, and in beliefs or your life goals, and that can really strain your relationship.
For sure, for sure. And I want to take a moment to remind everybody, don't forget you can call in. And that number to call in to get a reading and to talk to Carolyn and I about what's going on with your relationships at 1-857-232-0155. And you will have to then also dial extension 870-303. That information is there at the top of the page, though. If you're on our Facebook page, you'll be able to see it there in print. So you won't have to worry about writing it down. And you can give us a call and you'll be live on the air. So I just wanted to give everybody a quick reminder.
Yeah. So another thing that you can do to spot a bad situation that you're in is there's some unaddressed addictions. You know, maybe a substance abuse or, you know, other addictions that are left unaddressed. So you have to really look at, because they can really severely impact your relationship, and it, you know, you may not, the person may be pretty much checked out even sometimes, and it's just like, what are you doing? Because they're not even present for you.
Mm-hmm. Well, and depending upon the substance too, will also depend on how far away, or even how manufacturally close they might be, depending upon the substance. And that's the other reason, like some substances can bring you together, like in the moment. I'm thinking of like my days using ecstasy. And
I went right there for you. I was already there.
That's where it brought me back to. And just it can be a very like a warm and fuzzy high, kind of high, where you just want to be lovey-dovey with whoever you're with. And I share that because there are some substances that can manufacture closeness, just like they can manufacture being up or relaxed or, you know, whatever it is you're using. The reason why I share that is because even if you might be, well, no matter what, I'll just say it this way. I don't want to be the police about substances. But at the same time, understanding that whatever you're using, if you are choosing to use a substance like that, that you are understanding the part of it that is heightened or the part that is manufactured in the substance, because that is, it's just that, it's a manufactured feeling. It isn't real. And the drug can make us feel like it is very real. And it can pull us into a very fantasy-like world where it is real. And it can be real for that those few hours even. But then it's gone. And then almost like the reverse of it is happening, where you're even more distant. And then it's like, is you know, it's almost like you don't feel okay, just normal. You feel like you need something to feel that extra. So I just share that because we can, you know, like play a game with ourselves on what we need, what we don't need, what's okay, what isn't okay. And again, like I'm not here to be the police about that. But at the same time, it is important to be very aware of and very real with ourselves, to be very real with ourselves, because otherwise we can hurt ourselves or we can hurt our partner, especially if they don't know. It's one, you know, one thing if let's say you both decide to do that and it's a choice that both parties are making together. It's another thing if you're busy doing something on your own and secretive about it, or they're doing something on their own and they're being secretive about it, that can be super destructive to a relationship.
You know, staying on that idea of maybe overdoing the ecstasies, I think is what you're saying. You know, the chemist for that created ecstasy was Alexander Scholdin, and his wife Anne was a therapist. Hmm. And she used to do, they're both deceased now, but she used to do you know, ecstasy sessions for couples. Hmm. And she was saying that you could get in one session you could get 6 months of therapy, because she'd be the guide to talk through things. And so there are places where that would be a good call to, you know, to do something like that. But yeah, you do have to, like, you're walking a thin line sometimes if you anything. So yeah, I guess your doggy has a.
Yes, he's hearing the door.
Yeah.
So he's letting everybody know. He's saying good morning.
Aww. Okay,
no,
so,
but I agree. No, and there's more and more of those kind of therapies that are coming to the forefront and to the mainstream now more than ever.
What's that other one that that the actor recently died from? Oh gosh, what was the name of it? Somebody in the chat room can see it too. From the Friends episode, he died from what drug?
You know, I don't know what he died. Was it the Chandler that just died? That character, the character that played Chandler?
Matthew Perry, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what he passed of.
I'll think of it in a minute. Let's see. It was ketamine, wasn't it? Ketamine?
And so ketamine. Yes, ketamine. They're doing a lot of stuff with ketamine.
They are, but I think I read too that he had street ketamine, and so you also have to know your person that you're getting anything from, or just do it in a therapy session.
Well, exactly. And there's a difference between doing ketamine on your own, versus, like you're saying, in a therapeutic kind of fashion where you do have someone that's helping you, overseeing the process, and you're only using it for that specific treatment. Because I do know people that have gotten huge success from ketamine treatment. I have not done it myself, but I do know a lot of people that have. And I know people that have had success, but I also know people that have gotten highly addicted to it and have had their, like, had a whole other addiction issue to get over that. So, it, like anything else, we have to be careful when we do it on our own, and also when we are not even sure, like, the effects it's going to have, you know. And sometimes, especially some of these feel good kind of ones like ketamine or ecstasy that take you to a really good feeling state, if you are not, if you don't get yourself into that state on your own ever, and that's the, like, let's just say, for example, you just, you know, happen to take an ecstasy and then all of a sudden feel like so amazing, like you've never felt before, that can just in itself be very addictive. Because if you've never allowed yourself to feel that level of pleasure or that level of connection, then it can make it feel like you need that or else, you know, and that can create a thing. So that's where it can be really important to involve a professional if you're going to do any kind of drug therapy like this, because they are, they're up and coming, and there's a lot of them, and there's a lot of people doing it like kind of ad hoc. Their own, they have their own systems and they might work, and then there's people that think that they have a whole system and it could, you know, be trouble. So just, you know, please be very cautious if you do choose any of those kind of treatments, that you really do your research and really make sure that you know people that have been through the process, and that you do your research to make sure it's reputable and everything is up to date as far as licenses, because it can be amazing. It can be incredibly therapeutic. Like Carolyn is saying, it can be very healing, but it can also do the opposite. It can cause more harm than good, and it can cause more trouble than you were already dealing with. If you don't, you know, if we abuse it, or if we fall into something we're not sure of how it's going to go.
Yeah. So know your source. And if it's alcohol that your partner may be addicted to, and they're not just checked out, that's obviously a red flag. So you just have to really be careful watching for these signs, and because you need to have you know, healthy growth in your life. And if you're always checked out, you're not going to be able to find that growth. You know, the other thing is too, if your partner maybe has financial control entirely, and really controlling with it, that's that's can really lead to a imbalance and resentment. So you have to be able to, share, and maybe both have an account, because you both have a lot of money, but especially when maybe one person works at McDonald's and the other one is a lawyer, you have to be able to share, you know, and kind of meet in the center somehow, because, you know, otherwise that McDonald's person's going to feel a little resentful if he's always bringing home things for himself, right?
Right. No, exactly.
Yeah.
No, exactly.
Yeah. So, well, let's see. Maybe we should also talk a little bit. Oh, let me see. Maybe we should also talk a little bit about good relationships, since we've talked about bad relationships. Just really know that should you jump out of a relationship, maybe review what you have in the relationship. What do you think?
That's a good angle, because especially if relationships are challenging or just difficult, because you might have a hard time with how to show up and be authentic and not be a people pleaser, for example. This is a great way to look at how to, like what Carolyn is saying, like how to know you're in a good one, instead of like where stuff comes up that might be a hiccup, but that doesn't mean that it's meant to be over. It's something to work on.
Yeah, because you have effective communication, you're saying, and maybe because you love the idea that you can be open and honest and respectful with your partner. It's really it's a hallmark of a relationship. It's, you know, fostering understanding and connection. So it's very important to have the effective communication.
For sure. And honestly, I have to say it's something that I'm pretty good with my communication. But I will say, like with Alan, it's something that is, it's made me grow. It's made me expand. It's made me take it even further, because now that I'm better at dealing with things emotionally that come up, or those what would be considered uncomfortable topics, and being able to let them come up and address them, it has taken a muscle for me to not like overthink it or over worry or over feel like what's being said or talked about, and how to like hold and show up for myself, not abandon myself like I might have in the past, or freaked out in the past, so I can stay calm and roll with it and understand that it's okay, you know, like that it isn't a sign that something is bad or negative or that something is wrong. Like I might have interpreted it in the past, but learning how to negotiate those big feelings and emotions, even the ones that aren't necessarily the ones I'm trying to have, but just part of real life, that's important, because if we are getting triggered and something comes up, sometimes we can have a distortion or like a misunderstanding. And if we're running our making our choices from the misunderstanding, we can make some rash decisions, I feel like, or we can maybe think the relationship is over when that's not even the case. It's just that, like, because we have a trauma or a trigger, and it's just something that we have to work on healing, you know, and learning how to handle when it comes up on our side of the fence, instead of projecting it onto our partner.
You're saying conflict resolution, in other words.
Yeah.
So that really has to have a construct. You have to be constructive with the conversation and resolving things. So instead of escalating and attacking. So and listen really involves listening, mostly a lot, so heavily, and then asking questions if you're not understanding it in a calm way, so that you can hear them.
You're so right about that. I want to take a moment really quick to say hello to some folks joining us in the chat. We have Renee joining in. Happy Monday. She says, happy Monday, Carolyn and Jay. It's great to see you, Renee. Happy Monday back to you. And then Karen is joining us as well. And she says, good morning. It's great to see you, Karen.
What was it? Romper room or something years ago? When you break like that to talk to people, it reminds me a little bit of, okay, who's in the studio today? I love it.
It is very much like that. It is. We it's our new version of that.
Yes. Yeah. Let's see. So when you also have a relationship that's really good, you're gonna really know, because you have, you know, you feel like you have an equal partner, as far as a balanced power dynamic, and you have a sense of equality, and you contribute to the healthy relationship. So it's, and you're gonna feel empowered, you know, and you shouldn't have to fight. You shouldn't have to fight to have a ground. In other words, it feels like there's equality there. Mm.
That's a great point. Where you don't feel like you need to fight for that.
Yeah, because life's too short, right? It's just too short to have to to have to fight for something like that, because it's just, it's not going to lift. You're not feeling lifted if you don't have it. So let's see.
Well, doesn't it feel like the kind of thing too, where it's like, oh, you know, if that person doesn't have that, oh, I don't know that I want to wait around, you know, to try to get it out of them.
Yeah, you know. But yeah, it really has to do with two, like feeling like they are in their own power, and you both want to feel like you're in your own power before you even go into a relationship. So because you're gonna draw a better partner for yourself. But if you're feeling like you have to go over there and become them or do anything for them, it's going to feel imbalanced otherwise. So noticing that you're feeling like you have an equal partnership is a really good sign. And that too, that you're, you know, another thing is individual growth and support. So you encourage your partner and you celebrate, you know, your achievements. And that really does foster a positive environment, you know?
It does. Well, and for me, it's been stages, you know, different stages for me to be able to speak my truth, not people please, and to be able to reveal my authentic self, how to do that, how to be my authentic self and not feel like I need to generate, you know, some happy emotion or some part of my personality that's a little bit more presentable, and how to just show up and be me. And that sounds like that's what we all are doing. but at the same time, if we have a lot of emotional issues or trauma, stuff that's going on, that is not so easy. And that does require some effort and work. And for me, I've had all that to look at and work through, and that comes up in different ways. And now more than ever, I'm able to say what I want to say and really mean it and be clear, and to do it in a way that isn't confrontational or where I don't need to be mad to speak my truth. I can just do it. But it has taken practice, and I've done a lot of fumbling the ball and having to kind of pick it back up and keep going and learn from there. So I just share that, because if you happen to be in the throes of relationship challenges and you've been doing a lot of work to figure it out, please keep going. Please believe in yourself enough to know that it's worth it, because this is life, and it's one of the biggest, you know, games of life there is, relationships, and how to do them in a way where it's good for you and it's good for everyone else that you're in the relationship with, and where there's a synergy and it's beneficial and it's uplifting versus, you know, what we've experienced where someone might be taking advantage of us or controlling us or worse.
Yeah. So really what you're saying is you have joy and fun, and you know, you have laughter and shared experiences, and you're feeling good about it. When you're really feeling good about it, and I guess you wouldn't be questioning this, but I guess sometimes when you get into a relationship, especially in the beginning, you really haven't uncovered what you've got yet. Or maybe you're afraid of continuing with a relationship because you're afraid of what might be in the magic box. So you can just look at what you do have and see how that works for you. The other thing is too, if you're feeling like affectionate with the person, or you know, your intimacy is darn good. This also helps to keep your emotional and physical connection strong. So you want to look at that. And kindness is real, just pure kindness is really important. You know, and feeling like somebody is there that's just, that cares, right? And you feel like cared about. You know, that's obviously fine.
That's a biggie. One, like that, just having someone have positive attention on us, where... Yeah. Even if it is just like a certain kind of like just love coming in our direction and admiration. And I'll say, as a people pleaser, those things were uncomfortable. Just those normal things were uncomfortable for me to experience sometimes. So part of it is learning how to experience those things and learn how to be in the authenticity of that kind of interrelationship when they're happening, that's also part of the practice, because that seems like it could be just intuitive, but it's not always intuitive.
When you were in that kind of a relationship, what did it take for you to realize, and was it you that got out?
I had to do a lot of work on myself to really flip around all the distortions I had from, like, how I would read and project and understand my empathic abilities. I had to do a lot of work on understanding, like, where that was coming from, how that was working. In the process, I learned that for me, my empathic sensitivities were a defense mechanism, you know, and for so long I was like, just like, was trying to see it as a gift. And really it was born out of a defense mechanism. And now learning how to use it as a gift and to use it as something that is valuable, that's been something that I've had to work with and learn how to do, because that was not as intuitive of a process as I wanted to believe it was when I first started in that journey of trying to understand myself.
Yeah, but what, and was it you that got out?
Yes. And I also had to spend an awful lot of time alone to understand how those things were working, because it would fry my circuits being with other people.
Yeah. So that's, you have a good point there. When you finally get out of a bad one, you want to really give yourself some time to evaluate and understand, what you will not have in the next one and what, and why you got there. So that's a really good point, to spend time alone first before jumping in, because you don't want to just carry it into another relationship and have the same pattern fall into place.
Well,
because you understood it. Yeah.
I was going to say, one, to your point, one thing I hear a lot on the lines is someone have a particular relationship issue with, it could be a man or a woman, doesn't matter. But then they, whatever that issue is, it's so big and it's so impactful to that person in that moment that then, let's say it's a woman talking about a man, then looking at all men like that, like all men are going to be like that, all men are going to be difficult like that, or all men are going to have this particular issue. And that's where I feel we get into trouble, because just because we might have experienced that issue with 10 men doesn't mean all men have it, number one. And it isn't fair to ourselves or to all the other people you might date to put what you've experienced automatically on to everyone else. Through the pain, through the hurt, through the, even if it's true, even if that's been the case for you, because it won't allow for the new to be the case, and it won't allow there to be a different. It's almost like in that case, I just see we can be so powerful with our words of this always happens to me or this never happens to me, that we just recreate it again and we don't even realize we're doing it, and that it's our very strong words that are doing it. And our very strong emotional state about it that's doing it. And I know that I'm totally generalizing it right now. It's not so easy. But it is the kind of thing that when we have a pattern like that, they're strong. And we can start to believe it ourselves and just think that this is the way it is. Like, this is just how it is. I'm stuck like this. The reason why I'm sharing it, though, is because you're not stuck. I wasn't stuck. You're not stuck. But it takes some work to understand that, to work on that, to learn that we're not stuck, because we can feel very stuck. We can feel very pigeonholed. And part of the work is learning how to undo all of those very strong feelings and emotions, especially if we have ourselves locked up in them.
So I think you're saying too, when you're deciding whether or not to start to date again after a situation like that, if you're repeating in your mind, all men are crap, and I'm not going to be able to have a good one. You're not ready. You know, you have to, when you can drop that kind of baggage and really feel like you've really taken a hold of yourself after the terrible relationship, then you're ready. So, you know, and you've figured out how to have a good time on your own. And really, because that then you have something to share too, and that's really important to know that you're ready to have a partner when you feel comfortable with yourself. Right? I mean,
totally. Yeah. That's a tricky thing. I mean, I feel like we're talking about something that we're having a very nice, delightful conversation. I'm having my coffee over here. You might be having your coffee or tea over there. And I'm happy to be having this conversation, but I'm very mindful of if we were having this conversation 10 years ago, I would be totally different having this conversation with you. And honestly, I might not even, I would be able to have it with you, but I would be having a whole different conversation. I would be talking about it from a much more wounded, hurt,
unpleasant
yeah. place where I was still very tormented.
And probably angry.
Yes.
An angry place.
Yes.
So when you feel like your mindset is you've kind of untwisted the severity of what you've been through, then maybe, and then giving yourself time to like be away from it for a while. Because I've known of people that were in such a horrible relationship, just abusive and the whole works. And then they break up, and 2 months later, they're in a relationship. And this, and their original relationship had gone on for years, right? And then 2 months later, boom, into another one. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you know, that's a good example of what not to do. So you have to really be careful of how you share yourself and how you allow others in. Because you're also not only wounding yourself by doing that, you're wounding your potential new partner. So you gotta keep clear up the love tubes. I guess it wouldn't be it, right?
It's tricky business. I mean, I honestly feel we get whatever messaging we get growing up, both through the TV movie programming and also just family and friend kind of peer pressure, kind of what we get passed on. And then there's like how we personally feel with our own individual personality and like our own passions and desires and how we bring them to life in our like kind of young adult self, teenage self to young adult self. And then as we grow and change, what that looks like and how do we enact that? I don't feel like there's a whole lot of discussion about that. Like it's like I feel like maybe if you're a therapist or you go into a field, you may get some education in that process. But otherwise, I feel like we're all just kind of thrown out there and expected to just make the most of it. And like just almost as if relationships should be something that are no big deal to us. And I feel like if we were a healthy society, they wouldn't be a big deal to us. But there's a lot of imbalances. There's a lot of disparities. There's a lot of polarity. And because of that, it isn't just so obvious. And that's why I feel like it can feel weird, or we can feel like, oh, I'm broken, or why do I need to spend so much time looking at this? And I feel like we can get caught up in the whole, I'm constantly working on myself, and I feel like I'm now going to have to work on myself forever. That's a trap too, I feel. So my point is there's balance. There is this idea of paying attention, being mindful, being an observer, doing what you can to be present and to be as clear with your communication as you can, while also being willing to make adjustments. And that's like, I feel like where we're coming from with our conversation here, and how to do that in a way that if you need to get a therapist or you need to get a spiritual advisor like Carolyn and I on One to Listen to help, where and like in my case, I've had all the above at different times in my life to get help and to get assistance. My point is you're not in this all by yourself. Carolyn and I are so excited that you are listening in with us here. If you have anything to share, please share in the comments. We still have some time left. We will share anything that you're having come up for you in this regard with relationships and how to be in them. And I've just talked a lot, Carolyn, so I'm going to be quiet and let you talk.
Well, you know, another thing you can do too is when you're out of that relationship that was so bad, one of the things you can do is say, okay, now I have to learn how to spot one that that is good. So pick out some friends of yours that are married or just together, and find the good ones, find the good relationships that that you want to kind of mirror and be like, and look at all the qualities that they have together. Maybe one person actually cuts the other person's toenails, and you think, oh, isn't that cute? Or, you know, you just like really like the way they are with each other. Your favorite couple friends is really who you really have to study, and kind of learn how to bring on that essence for yourself too, so that you can learn how to be with each other in a better way. So be with your new potential partner up ahead. And notice how they converse with each other. Notice how they fight, and and resolve things. And it could be that they just calmly say things, and the other person hears right away, but they both express. And so it's, you know, that would be a really good quality to have. So, you know, there's just a lot of things you can do, but the very first thing, you know, is just realizing what you had to contribute in that bad one. What were your contributions to it, and really taking responsibility for wanting to change it too, because you have to kind of bring yourself into a clear mode and very grounded mode before you redo it and know what you're getting yourself into. And know what you want.
Yes.
Describe. Yeah.
Oh my God, that's huge, knowing what you want. That's highly, that can be way more difficult of a thing than you can realize. I know I thought, oh, that should be easy. I should just be able to know what I want. But that has honestly been a challenge for me, a huge challenge, being able to be honest about what I want and that it's okay to want what I want. That's a process too. That might be a whole show. How to talk about that and how to be good about letting that in, like maybe our big ideas, our big passions, our big desires. How do we work with those things when they feel so big? I feel like that's our next, not our next topic, but another show topic for us to dive into. But we need to see ourselves out of here. Where can everyone find you, Carolyn? Because we're almost out of time.
Okay. Well, I'm going to be on from 6 until 4 mostly every day. And unless I have another meeting someplace. So that's at 1-2 listen. And if there's if I happen to be off the line, you can also schedule a call for either me or Jay. And Jay, where can they find you on the radio and on 1-2 listen other than us?
Yes, you can always click on the schedule an appointment button. If you don't see either one of us, that does let us know that you're looking for us, and we'll do what we can to make ourselves available right away. And 1-2 listen is awesome because if we are signed on, you can see right there at the front page all of us that are signed on. And I'm so grateful to be a part of that amazing team of wonderful, amazing, gifted, psychic, intuitive, healer, advisor folks.
Me too. I agree with you. Next week, we will talk about how to deal with surprises. Surprise events. How did you put it, Jay?
How to deal with those things that come up, that catch us off guard or, you know, come out of left field. How do we handle those situations and proceed?
Okay, so not surprises like a gift of, $1,000, right?
That's one kind of surprise, definitely. Or the surprise that you need to move, or the surprise that maybe a partner is leaving you. Or maybe someone is coming into your life, wants to get closer. Any of those things that might throw you because you didn't expect them. We'll be talking about that.
Yeah. So Mark Husson is up next, and Christina LaFrance and Lori Love just after that. So stay tuned. And there's more to talk about with everyone.
We're so grateful that you've been here with us this morning, and we hope that you have a beautiful day. This has been Metaphysical Conversations with Carolyn and Jay here on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way you listen to the world. Stay tuned for Mark Husson. He's coming up next.
In the mornings, gentle light, we bid you all good night. Ideas, stories, hopes, and dreams took flight. with Carolyn and Jay, conversation so bright, in this cosmic realm where our stories ignite. Mornings embrace a new day's pearl. Their dialogues continue in this cosmic swirl. Thank you for joining with hearts full and swell in the mythical realm where our stories dwell.